everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with our friend Tom Fairbanks. Mr. Fairbanks engineering the show on the other side of the glass. Tom's in a very good mood today, wearing a very big smile. Tom and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday. It is June 26th. Tom, do you realize today is the 25th anniversary of the hottest temperature ever recorded here in Tucson? A sizzling 117. Oh boy, that was something. And I had business that day, believe it or not, in Phoenix. And you were up there too, Tom. Okay, no, but it, oh yeah, 120, 122. That's right, because it was on my, we were up in Scottsdale that day. It was, and actually the temperature on the car was 124.
Wow.
So I'm surprised that the rubber didn't really melt on the Buckmaster tires. Anyway, we're live each weekday right here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and we are live streaming the show. There are a couple of places where the stream happens. One of them is the fine website here at the station, KVOI.com, and BuckmasterShow.com. That's my website. Live streaming's really changed everything in radio. You can just be anywhere in the world. If you've got a computer, just put in KVOI.com or BuckmasterShow.com and you can hear the program. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, The Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com. Thank you to all of them. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, Chris Nanos is with us, Chief Deputy for the Pima County Sheriff's Department. Chief Nanos is second in command to Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dupnik, who announced on this program in early January that he would be retiring sometime during 2015, this year. And the sheriff, at his surprise party that was given a week or so ago, Chris?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, about a week ago, said that the retirement now will come officially on July 31st. With nearly four decades of law enforcement experience, Chief Nanos has experienced he's seen a lot of things in the Sheriff's Department, and he's served in the department's four bureaus. He rose through the ranks over the last three decades, and it is expected that the Pima County Board of Supervisors will name him the successor to the sheriff, probably at their meeting in July. But we'll see about that. Joining me in studio to question the chief is Sarah Garrett-Gasson. Sarah, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Sarah is the editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. The Buckmaster Show live line is at 790-2040. If you have any questions concerning law enforcement in our community, specifically with the Sheriff's Department, Chris Nanos would be happy to talk with you, or at least attempt to answer your question to the best of his ability. Our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Chief Nanos, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you for having me.
Was the sheriff tells me, and I would have been there if I was not on the air, but it was happening obviously while I was on it at noon. He says he was surprised.
You know, that's we think he was too, but it's such a hard thing to surprise someone of his stature.
Yeah.
And keep that quiet. And you have 400 attendees plus his family. Poor Susie, his wife, we told her, we waited for the last minute and we told her about a week out or so, and I'm sure she had a hard time, but it was a great event, and I know he was thoroughly pleased and still is in awe.
And I think you were here that day in January, weren't you?
I was.
Yeah,
I was.
When the sheriff made that rather surprising announcement.
It was.
I mean, surprising in some ways, but he's been in law enforcement a long time, so it's not all that surprised. He can't stay sheriff forever.
It's one of those things that you know it's coming, and you know it's coming just because that's the way life is, but then when it actually happens, you're
right.
Like, oh.
Yeah.
It's actually happening.
He surprised all of us. That was a firestorm for us that day. We were sitting at lunch, and it came out, and we were like, what did he just say? So, yes.
You know. So what kind of department, what is the sheriff's legacy, do you think, Chris? And you've known him a long time.
Oh, my goodness. There's so much. There's so much to this man. There's not words big enough to describe him or the things he's done for not just this department, but this whole community. It just, I told everybody
the department
there,
he took over was in bad shape.
Oh, absolutely. It was almost an embarrassment. It was just you look at what we had in 1980 mm-hmm. and compare to today. We're just, to me, and I understand I have some bias here, but in my eyes, we're probably, if not the best agency and most professional agency in the nation. We certainly are within this area, within the state of Arizona. It's just every man and woman on this agency is so proud to be a member of it, and they should be.
Sarah?
I know you haven't even been appointed to the fill out the term, but do you plan to run for sheriff the next go-round?
In 2016,
yes.
I do. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Tell me so obviously you feel the sheriff has left the department in very, very good hands. So what will some of the major challenges be for you heading up this department?
Well, let me mm-hmm. start with this. Let me premise this, the answer with simply this. The Board of Supervisors, not the sheriff, will select who they want as his replacement here in the next few weeks. So rather than talk about any future plans I have for this organization or my mind has in any way, is I would much rather talk to you about what I've done since being appointed as chief deputy and what I continue to do and what I plan to do.
Okay.
Back in January of 14, the sheriff appointed me as chief deputy, and I had a conversation with him afterwards, and I asked him, I says, well, as chief deputy, what do I do? What am I in charge of? And he said simply, everything. and it took me aback a little, and I thought, everything. So the first thing I did was I looked at where we've been, what as an organization makes us good, and how can we get better. And there's a few things that come to mind right off the top, and I could go on forever, but really we just do an outstanding job of hiring good people. There's just no doubt about it. And to complement that, we do a better job of training them. And you combine that with what you have as a work product, as a team, and I'm just so blessed. My job is so easy because I have such good people who work for me and do great things every single day. Small things that people don't even get to hear about or see. And you would just be amazed if you could just ride along with some of these young deputies or our corrections officers, who, by the way, we hire them at 18 years of age and stick them in a pod with 70, some of Tucson's not so finest, and they do tremendous work every day. And so I look at that, and then I look at, what can we do better? So the first thing you want to look at is your training program. Who trains, how we train, what we train. When I first took over, we had experienced a number of shootings, officer-involved shootings, that involved people who suffered from mental illness. We, as a community, as an organization, I don't think we do enough there. And so I set out to try to work with those in the mental health field and get a team together to collaborate with those individuals and find a way to do it better. I don't have those answers. I don't have that big brain, but I know we have them in my organization, and I know we have them in this community. And so the sheriff and I collectively put together a policy board that consisted of everyone you can imagine that deals with mental health, from the mental health courts to the mental health prosecutors and attorneys to beyond criminal justice, the mental health professionals, the CPSA, and now Simpatico is coming on board. All of these individuals, we sit them in a room and we say, what's the problem? What's more important than being problem solvers, it gives them a face to deal with. And so these people meet with legislatures. Miss Steele, Victoria Steele's been down there. She's awesome. Just so many of them have been down here. And so we moved along in that regard.
Okay. Sarah?
Kind of following up on that, people with the the different mass shootings that the country has experienced and that we know very well, unfortunately, here in Tucson, you hear a lot about kind of, you know, we need to prevent the next shooting. We need to find the Jared Loughner before he becomes Jared Loughner. How, from a law enforcement perspective, when you hear people say that, what does that mean, and what does that mean operationally?
Well, you know, we look at our department, and remember, I was talking about our training. So we looked at the mental health problem, and the reality is, I believe that my officers, my deputies on the street, probably have more contact than any mental health professional does with the mentally ill. Those suffering from mental illness, it's compounded when we look at also the substance abuse problem for those who are mentally ill. It just adds to that problem. Or my correction facility. I think Sheriff Dupnik said this, and I couldn't concur any more than that, that it's the largest mental health hospital in the southern part of the state. We have such a problem here. And so how do we deal with that? Well, we look at our training. And one of the first things we looked at was we have what we call crisis intervention training, CIT training. And I talked to those people who were responsible for it, and they believe their practice is that you have about 30% of your staff, the law enforcement, the first responders, trained in it out on the street, and you're good. That's pretty much the standard. I don't get that. I'm sorry. I just disagreed with it. And I said, no, I need 100% of my officers on the street. Why would I not want 100% of them trained? And I understand that, well, you know, you get some young kids out of the academy and they're just learning, and so it takes a little bit of time to get that. To me, that's hogwash. I'd much rather have them trained. So we went to another route. We still do the CIT training, but we went through our mental health first aid training, another program designed for those officers, every officer. And so we're now at 100%. Every single person who comes out of that academy is trained with mental health first aid.
All right, we're going to take our break here. It's 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview with Pima County Chief Deputy Chris Nanos. We will be back, but right now it's our 60s bump music that Tom has picked out. The group is Buffalo Springfield.
There's something happening here, what it is ain't exactly clear.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Monday for the Monday Political Face-Off featuring John Munger and Vince Robigo. Also a forecast for the summer thunderstorm season from climatologist Zach Guido. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice and anywhere in the world live streaming podcasts and show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we hear a little bit of Buffalo Springfield. Every Friday we try to do a little bit of the 60s bump music featuring different groups that some of us remember very well. Of course, Buffalo Springfield, kind of an iconic group of the late 60s. Chris Nanos is with us, Chief Deputy, Pima County Sheriff's Department. And Sarah Garrett Gasson is here from the Arizona Daily Star. A quick follow-up, and then I want to kind of move on to something else, Chief, about the whole mental illness thing. On a yearly basis, even a daily basis, how many cases do you think your deputies are dealing with people that are mentally impaired?
You know, we just started tracking these numbers because it's not something we track. We track crime in that. Mm-hmm. But it became so obvious to us, so we started with a system to track them. And just this last year alone, we were well over the 900 level, probably closer to 1,000 or more, just contacts with these individuals on it. So on a daily basis, you're looking at three to four a day we deal with.
So important, then, that every deputy has training to deal with these people. We have a caller at 790-2040. I believe it is Greg, who has been waiting patiently. Hi, Greg. You're with Chief Deputy Chris Nanos.
Hi, Bill, and hi, Chris. I was just going to say that I had an experience with Chief Deputy Nanos a year or two ago where I had a question regarding the feasibility of a woman returning home in Green Valley. She had a felony conviction. Of course, there can't be any weapons in the house. And I'll just say this. My first impression is you responded to my phone call, and then Chief Deputy Nanos got back to me with a letter and answered my questions. And it's that kind of response that we appreciate as folks who live here. So thanks, Chris, for that.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I've got one other point, Bill, if I have a second. Talking about, now, we have these shooters around the country, and it seems invariably these shooters, whether it was back at the children's school back east or Lochner here, I wonder if, I know we have to weigh the privacy issues, but I wonder if we can't keep track of these folks that are on the mind-altering prescribed neuroleptics, these medicines, which are turning them into crazier than they were. Okay. And that way, if a deputy rolls up behind somebody and you run the plate, you can, know what you're dealing with. I'd like to hear your response to that.
Okay, thank you, Craig. Or Greg, excuse me.
Well, let me just say this. We're dealing with a number of issues with our missed policy group, which is our mental health group, and on that board or that panel that was created by this department, by our department, are a number of legislators who are going through these issues with us as well. We are currently trying to get in place an automated system where if you have been adjudicated with some sort of mental illness, where the officer who out in the field stops you and understands that he can run that name and get nothing other than just simple, yes, you are dealing with someone here who suffers from a mental illness. At least it lets the officer know what the potentials are he's dealing with in front of him. And that's That is taking place as we speak. We're working with through the state. It was passed this last legislation to get something online within our – where it's really just nothing more than a touch of the button for the deputy in the car to look at his screen and say, here's Chris Nanos, and he does suffer from mental illness, so you might take precautions or at least deal with him as you would anyone who suffers from such a disease.
And just to clarify, that would be someone who's been adjudicated, meaning having gone through the court system and been committed, not someone who's in therapy just a generic, you know, you see a professional.
A number of times, and I'll give you this example, we had an incident where a gentleman killed himself, committed suicide. And we had responded to that house about 5 to 6 times before in just the previous few years. And that's a shame. That shouldn't be happening. Jared Loeffner, perfect example. He was stopped that morning running a red light. 2 hours later, we had our incident. Having that information, would that officer who stopped him acted differently? We don't know those answers. But at least the officer's armed with the information and can at least maybe take some steps that are reasonable to deal with that.
All right. Terry has been waiting very patiently for us at 790-2040. Terry, go ahead. You're with Chris Nanos.
Yes, I'm very patient. I'm always patient.
Thank you.
Chris, I want to say to you and to Sheriff Dupnik, his considerable knowledge of what he does, and I know that's what he does for a profession, and all those men and women who, well, they do. They protect and serve. We the people.
Thank you.
And look, whether you're politically savvy, a Democrat, Republican, has nothing to do with it. Look, here's what I believe, Chris, and you can say what you want real quickly. Let's go back and to the schools and talk about what you guys do, what you believe in, and how to save the neighborhood from before they become disaster and prevent kids. Be friends with the kids. That's what it's all about. You're in charge.
Good point, Terry. You are so good.
We're not done there. I think the police department, who are struggling, by the way, they need to get the finance going, and city council need to get their act together. You too. Okay. We depend on you to do your job.
All right, Terry.
If you, yeah, we cannot, Bill, we cannot do it efficiently with a half going deal here. We need a full people, full membership here. Everybody's involved. Everybody's a policeman. Everybody's a sheriff. We should all just act accordingly.
Okay.
And we support you 100%. Now, let's get to the schools and save our kids. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. And I'm glad you actually brought that up, because there was a program where the deputies went into the schools.
So all the good things we've done through the years, one thing we did is we stopped that school resource program. And budget issues, whatever it may be. But if you really want to impact crime, and this is just my belief, you look at our crime statistics across the nation, and crime is down for the most part. And if you looked at anything else, I mean, we all would like to think that it's because of good police work. Well, there's a number of things that influence crime, and one of the largest is probably our aging population. Let's just face it, when you're 72 years of age, you probably aren't involved in a lot of bar fights or robberies.
Let's hope not.
Yeah, I agree.
But Green Valley is going to look very different if that changes.
So as we get older, our crime goes down. Well, we should learn from that and not wait for our youth to get to that age. We should be in there with the schools. It was a mistake. We recognize it today. Actually, you'll see, I think on July the 3rd, we are going to be kicking off a 12-man school resource officer program.
Oh, good.
And we have worked with all the schools in our area. All of them are excited. I don't know that it will be a school resource officer, as people believe. That we're kind of dealing with some of the concepts of that. Years past was the school resource officer went in and taught classes and things like that. I don't want to take away that time from those schools. Those teachers need to teach classes. We don't want to be doing their job. We want to be there to help mentor, to help assist the schools, to help the parents and the students and the teachers, and just be there as a presence for them. If it provides safety and security, so be it. But also, it's really just a matter of getting back to our youth. If you want to impact crime, you have to start there.
That's the first I've heard of that. So that July 3rd, you're going to get back into the
schools.
Sir.
I think the Vail School District is the first one that starts. I think it's around the 1st of July or thereafter. But, yes, we'll be sending 12 individuals to a training session for first couple of weeks, and then they'll get into the schools thereafter.
Very good. Only got about a minute or so left. Response times, how are we doing for folks who live in the county and they need a deputy in a hurry? And, of course, everybody does if they call 911. They're probably facing what will probably be one of their worst days in their life.
Yeah.
So how can we get a deputy out there as quickly as possible?
Well, first of all, God forbid that you need it for that bad situation. But our response times are actually very good. When you compare us to across the state, I think we're one of the top ones in there. We're averaging on a priority one call. Those are your major crimes. Our response times are right about 4.5 minutes. Naturally, you got to remember, we're the seventh largest county in the nation, 9,700 square miles. There's 11 satellite offices. So that can impact some of that. But when we look at the metropolitan area of Tucson itself, it's right about 4.5 minutes. The biggest thing I think you need to understand is if you call 911 and the sheriff's department answers and you want a deputy, you will get a deputy. We will respond to any and all calls that you ask for one. And it's just that simple. We've always done that. We believe that our community expects that of us. If they want a service from law enforcement, they should get that.
And Neighborhood Watch program?
Neighborhood Watch. My goodness, now I'm going to brag because I have the greatest volunteer program in the country. We have over 400 volunteers who every day do great things. They take people off of cliffs out here through our Southern Arizona Rescue Association, our SAV programs. 3 o'clock in the morning, monsoon season, they're directing traffic. Our Neighborhood Watch program, just really super. We now have a program that our SAVs, that's another thing we've started up, is utilizing those community members, those SAVs, those volunteers to help us relate better with the community. You know, now we have the volunteers riding bike patrol out here through the loop. We also have them doing what we call house checks. If you're on vacation for one day or 6 months, you call our SAVs and they will check on your homes every day.
Wow.
Just go by, make sure everything's okay.
That's called Sheriff's
Auxiliary Volunteers.
Okay. Yeah, we have Neighborhood Watch up in our area in Fletcher Caeta in the foothills, and we're very happy with that.
It is really all about community policing. We look at the struggles around the nation, and I just say to myself, my goodness, I don't know how they did it, but they lost their connection. We're so blessed here. We have a great community.
Chief Nanos, thank you very much. All the best to you.
Sir.
I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you very much.
Good luck to you. Sarah Garrett Gasson will stick around, and Dylan Smith is waiting in the wings. Dylan will join us. Lots to talk about, certainly. No shortage of news today, is there? We'll be right back on the Friday Roundtable.
Getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you landed 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Listen to my bluebird laugh. She can't tell you. All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. The music of Buffalo Springfield. That's one of my favorites, Tom. That Bluebird from the first album. I don't know how many albums they had, really. Pretty much one, maybe two. Dylan Smith joining us now on our Friday roundtable, along with Sarah Garrett Gasson. Dylan is the editor and founder, publisher of TucsonSentinel.com, a fine online news service here in Tucson. Dylan, how are you?
Pretty good. It was a little bit warm driving over here, but it's nice to escape the heat and get into the cool confines of the radio station here.
I don't know if you were listening, Dylan, at the beginning of the show, but I mentioned and noted that it was 25 years ago today that we had really the hottest temperature ever.
That brought to mind that day I was out riding my bike around wearing a pair of jeans and a black T-shirt in the middle of the afternoon. And it was warm.
And I was visiting here with my best friend Jenny from high school, both blonde hair, blue eyed, light skinned people, for a college orientation. And we decided we were going to sunbathe. And it was not a good idea. I'm just going to put it that way.
Oh, my goodness. You could have burned with your skin.
Oh, absolutely.
Probably not could have, but probably in less than 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. We did not last long. And it was memorable. Let's just say we're going to remember that trip.
Hey, kind of a quick follow-up. And, Dylan, I know you were in the next room listening. That's good news to hear that that the deputies are going to get back in the schools.
Yes and no.
Okay, I want to hear.
Well,
the no. Okay.
You know, I've heard from a lot of teachers. My wife used to be a teacher, and many of her colleagues that some of the interactions between students and law enforcement when they're stationed there in the schools are not the best. So it's for a lot of students, it is a little bit intimidating to have that sort of person around. But if you do have a school with a serious discipline problem, it can be good to have somebody actually there on site ready to deal with things. I mean, that is an issue in many schools.
I was thinking the deterrent factor.
it is a little bit of a mixed bag sometimes.
Yeah. I think it all depends on who the officer is. Mm-hmm. It really makes a difference in how they have that relationship with the students. My brother is school resource officer in outside St. Louis, and so, which to me as his big sister is somewhat hilarious, but I shouldn't say that. But it all depends on the relationship that officer has with the students.
If it's somebody who has a good, solid rapport and actually gets to know the kids, and that can be a good thing. If it's somebody who's just there to scowl at them, that is almost worse than not having somebody there.
Yeah, they call him Officer Matt, which is a vast improvement than the school resource officer we had when I was in high school in St. Louis, who was the kind of just, frown, yeah, going to get you in trouble.
Uh-huh. Anyway, it's been a historic 24 hours at the Supreme Court. The Affordable Care Act reinforced, basically, yesterday and then today. Gay marriage, basically, the marriage, same-sex marriage, reinforced in that it's now the law of the land.
Yes, it is.
And Arizona, one of those states before this, was kind of the legally a gray area for gay marriage. Now every state will have the same law.
It's going to take a couple weeks to actually get all of the court orders in place, mm-hmm, all over the country. But, it pretty much is a matter of, as of this morning, if you want to be married anywhere in the United States, you have the right to go get married.
And that is fantastic news. And I should say it's been a good 2 days from my point of view, in a week that's been rough, I think, nationally.
Well, yesterday with the Affordable Care Act, I think we're talking about over 150,000 Arizonans that were stood to possibly lose their federally subsidized health insurance.
Well, there's been a little bit of overstatement over the possible consequences of that decision yesterday. People were not at risk of losing their health insurance. What was at risk was the subsidy that you get for health insurance, which for some people is quite significant and would probably mean that their health insurance would be way too expensive. At my house, that would have been about a $60 a month impact, not something that's overwhelming. For other, mm-hmm, people who have larger subsidies, it could be a couple $100 a month or even more.
And in that, I think, yes, there is that distinction that we were talking about the subsidies, not, having your health insurance taken away, but for many, many, many people, that is the same thing. It's the practical effect of, if you can't afford that $60, then you, yeah, have no health insurance. So I think those are the terms we need to be thinking about it in.
We have a very important Supreme Court ruling that will come down. Well, Monday's the last day?
Monday is the final day of the term, so we will get the redistricting decision
Monday
morning.
And that's what so many that follow politics certainly very closely in this state have been waiting for. It's almost like
getting us all out of bed at 6 a.m. every day this week.
Yeah, like living in an apartment, perhaps folks remember there's like a shoe that drops and then you're waiting. where is the second shoe? Well, the commissioners that are these districting commissions, there's seven states that are impacted. Arizona is of course one of them. So if this, what are the implications, bottom line, Sarah? I'll pass it over to you to kind of give me the bottom line.
I'm suddenly the legal scholar.
There you go.
It basically is whether or not, from my understanding, and maybe Dylan, you can expand on this, but whether the way Arizona has done it, in which the it's a citizens commission. It's not done the redistricting, figuring out what voters are in what district aren't those lines aren't drawn by the legislature. In Arizona, we had a voter approved decision that an independent group would be doing that, not the people who directly benefit and are affected by gerrymandering would do that. And that is kind of what is at stake. Because
this is for Congress.
Yes, for Congress. Because where districts are drawn is very, very important. It makes a huge difference.
And that is a good fine point that you brought up, that the case is specifically about congressional districts, because how we draw our legislative districts, mm-hmm, here in Arizona is purely a matter of what goes on at the state level. Mm-hmm. So what would possibly change is that we would have to go back to the legislature to draw congressional districts. And it's not just here in Arizona. I mean, the biggest impact would be in California nationally. They have the same sort of independent commission that draws up congressional districts there. And it's created a little bit of an interesting situation for really every political party, because the Democrats would gain a lot in California if they were able to draw the congressional districts there. And whereas here in Arizona, you've got the Republicans who want to try and draw that power back into the legislature so that people who are potentially seeking to move up to Congress are able to draw the districts that they're trying to run in.
And we've been hearing that they are ready to do a special session if this goes in favor of our legislature, that they're ready to do a special session and redraw those districts. That would perhaps impact then right away for next year's election.
Yeah, it's something that moves rather quickly once it happens.
And I wonder if that's why we're not seeing candidates come, you know, saying that they're interested in this. They're kind of just waiting.
There are, I think, a few people who are eagerly sitting on the bench waiting to jump onto the field, depending on how the boundaries come down. I mean, that really affects whether you want to run or not. There's nothing that requires you to live in a congressional district to run for Congress from that district. That's not actually a requirement. But a lot of voters tend to look very unfavorably on someone who lives all the way across the state trying to run to represent you.
Dylan Smith is with us from TucsonSentinel.com, and Sarah Garrett Gasson is here from the Arizona Daily Star. Arizona may have its own Confederate States of America controversy brewing. A state Representative Reginald Boulding and some activists are calling for the removal of a memorial along a stretch of rural Arizona highway. I believe it's up near Apache Junction. Who would have thought that there's a monument to the Confederate States of America President Jefferson Davis?
Yeah. Imagine that in Arizona.
Yeah. Well, Arizona at one time, Tucson anyway, was part of the Confederacy.
Well, in a way. I mean, like five guys riding horses rode into town and said, hey, we'll help you shoot Apaches. And everybody kind of said, oh, okay, I guess we're Confederates now. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a grand decision by too many of the people who actually lived in Tucson, whether they were going to be in the Union or part of the Confederacy. It was kind of whoever, you know, whichever side was in town that day kind of got to run their flag up the flagpole. So it went back and forth.
The flag was, the Confederate flag did fly over Tucson for a while in 1862, I think, before the Battle of the Skirmish.
Yes.
Up at Picacho Peak. But this kind of, I was thinking,
it's a big deal.
It is, and I think something that folks should keep on the horizon, and you may, we may be hearing more controversy about this. Every August 20th is the Tucson recognition of the founding of the Presidio of Tucson. Well, seven flags are brought forward, and one of those flags is the Confederate flag. So I wonder if folks will be saying maybe it's time not to display the Confederate flag.
I say we can keep the Confederate flag as long as we also raise the Baja Arizona flag.
Okay.
And I think that, yeah, I don't, I think changing history and trying to revise, you know, what happened is a dangerous thing. But also, I more dangerous is refusing to understand what it means today, and that it means something different than well, actually, it's not even different than it was back then. So, and that the interpretation and that how people see it and react to it matters, and that it's a very current issue. And I'm glad that the folks in South Carolina finally realized that it is something that stands for racism. And I've never been able to understand the, you know, it's heritage. Well, the heritage is that, you know, discrimination and slavery. And just, I've never been able to wrap my head around that. So I think it's something people will bring up, and I do think it's something that we need to be thoughtful about.
I agree. I you know, in when we're recognizing history, that's a different matter than putting something up as an icon to you know, something we should be upholding. That's in a
celebrating.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a different way of looking at something. And if something is a museum, mm-hmm. that's meant to prompt some awareness of what happened in history, that's entirely different than putting something that is very, very unfortunate in a place of honor.
You had some interesting reaction to your column, ignoring race and racism, not solving anything, was the headline for your column yesterday.
Yeah, that was...
You posted some of it on Facebook, some of the calls and mm-hmm. Emails that you received.
Yeah.
Kind of nasty stuff.
Yeah, sadly not unsurprising. My favorite was most of the emails were saying that, the part of my column was about how this guy who self-identified himself as a senior citizen mm-hmm. Called to tell me that racism was over. This was about 6 weeks ago, and we had a very interesting conversation. But the replies I got when I wrote about that yesterday was the best one that I posted on Facebook was how this person in the middle of this very long diatribe mm-hmm. Saying that he isn't racist, he couldn't possibly be racist because 60% of his more than I think 1 or 2,000 MP3 files are soul, gospel, and R&B. And he enjoys watching sports like the NBA, which have many black players. So therefore, he is no racist. He also did go on to say that he did have a friend who was African American.
The one friend?
The one friend. I always wonder about that guy, was like, great, thanks, buddy.
Oh, my goodness.
And that kicked off quite a firestorm.
Oh, did it ever.
But, that's what but he thought, honestly, that that's what most people think. And I hope he's wrong.
Yeah. Hey, we want to say a big shout out, congratulations to Joe Burchill of the Arizona Daily Star. Both Dylan and Sarah know Joe and have worked with him and respect him a lot.
Absolutely.
He's an icon in the Tucson journalism community, and his institutional memory, I'm sure, will be very much missed at the Arizona Daily Star.
Oh, without a doubt. There is no issue mm-hmm. in Tucson and Pima County that you can talk about that he doesn't know chapter and verse about what happened decades ago and the history. And, I mean, I went to the U of A for journalism school, and he came and spoke at my beginning journalism class, and he was just a rock star because we were all like, oh my gosh, look at that. And then I've told him this, and he laughed, but like a month or two after that, I saw him, and this was, 1991, in Target. Mm-hmm. And I said to Tim, my husband, like, oh my gosh, that's Joe Burchill from the Arizona Daily Star. And I did like this like follow thing.
Oh,
I mean,
goodness.
It was a celebrity sighting.
Nobody remembers really when he started, but it was a long time ago, Dylan.
It's lost in the midst of time. I'm sure you could pull up the clipping, that first one from somewhere deep in the microfilm.
All right, good luck to Joe Burchill. That's going to do it for the Friday Roundtable. Dylan and Sarah, best to both of you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks.
All right, we'll be back. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. It's next.
I was waiting for the...
Soon she's going to fly away. Sadness is her own. Give herself a bath of tears and go home.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
All right, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. What a great place to spend the weekend in the cool climate. I mean, 6,000 to 7,000 feet, very, very conducive for nice walks around historic Silver City, and great places to stay like Bear Mountain Lodge. You can find out about all the things to do and places to stay by visiting their fine website, which is southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome Matt Russell. Matt Russell of Inside Tucson Business, where he writes the column on food and beverage. He is an award-winning Tucson publicist, an all-around good guy and good foodie. Hello, Matt.
Hello, Bill. How are you? I'm counting down the hours to happy hour.
Well, you usually are about this time on Friday afternoon. Can you give me a pick for happy hour?
Yeah, you know, there's certainly no shortage of happy hours around town, but the one at Elliott's downtown got my nod today because of their creative vodka infusion program. Now, these guys claim to have the largest selection of house-infused vodkas in town, nearly 20 in all, ranging from peppercorn to key lime to ginger. And they're all just $3 today from 4 to 7. You throw in an order of duck sliders, and you've got the happiest and quackiest of happy hours. Sorry, Bill. Check out the Libation Laboratory at Elliott to kick off your weekend today.
3 hours to get infused with that, with that vodka. How about those that want to do a little about, you know, the old smokehouse routine?
Yeah, the smoke is going to be rising tomorrow from 6 to 9 p.m. from the plaza of the Hotel Congress when 7 local pitmasters go head-to-head to see who can kick out the best brisket in town. It's called the Smoke and Showdown, and money raised at the event is going to support the Steele Children's Research Center, and your $30 ticket will get you big bites of brisket from each competitor, a selection of size, a beer from Pueblo Vita Brewing Company, and live music. Now, I'm going to be one of the judges for this event, Bill, and suffice it to say that my palate is prepared for some serious Q. You can get your tickets at hotelcongress.com and let the smoking begin.
Yeah, that bib you're going to be wearing is going to be really, really greasy at the how about a taste of something different?
Yeah, this is going to be fun. Iconic chef Janos Wilder is at it again, Bill, taking a virtual trip around the globe to inspire some regional menus at his downtown kitchen and cocktails. Now, this week, it's all about Istanbul, and you can build your own three-course meal from a selection of dishes from crispy duck with a sour cherry phyllo to a lamb ragu with eggplant puree. And the sticky fig cake sounds like a winner for dessert. Downtown Kitchen transports you to Turkey through July 6th, so check it out. Now, Bill, you're a world traveler. I bet you've been to Istanbul.
No, I haven't, unfortunately. Turkey, not one of the 100 countries, but certainly on the bucket list. What should we look for in the column?
Yeah, as we approach July 4th, Bill, I found some red, white, and blue beverages that I think are worthy for celebrating our independence. You can check it out in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business and raise a colorful glass, USA.
Have a great weekend, Matt.
Cheers, Bill.
The Bill Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team, all the fine folks at KVOI, Ed Alexander, Tom Fairbanks, Ray Allen, Jerry Cross, and my executive assistant, Rosemary Brandt, I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and a safe weekend.